Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the late pick five from Saratoga on Whitney Day, Saturday, August 1st. This is show number 75, July 31st, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how's life treating you?
Treating me very well. I'm excited about Sport of Kings up and running. Contests are already going this week, and the start of the big contest with two NHC seats on the line races this Saturday. Great racing at Del Mar and Saratoga to talk about, and it's about as good as it gets as a horse player, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it should be noted that SportOfKings.net is live with an NHC qualifier that starts tomorrow. It's a round one version. We have three round ones in August, September, and October. The top 100 NHC Tour players from each one of those months will graduate to the finals, which will be Breeders' Cup weekend. And there will be 300 people battling on all Breeders' Cup races for two seats to Vegas. And the great thing now about the new site is that free PPs are provided from the Daily Racing Forum by the Daily Racing Forum. For either in DRF Formulator version or Classic. So just go to SportOfKings.net to sign up.
Yes, do it. Free contest, free PPs. What can you lose? And have some fun.
Now, Chris, I know you wrote an article called How to Thrive with a Pick Five. I have not had a chance to read it as I'm literally working on Sport of Kings every minute of the day. But for folks who are not on Twitter, can you tell people how to access the article?
Yes, you can go to inthemoneypodcast.com. That's inthemoneypodcast.com, all one word. And you'll see at the top of the screen a blog. You'll see some links up at the top, and one of those is blog. If you click on that, you'll see How to Thrive on the Pick Five as the first blog shown. Just click on that and read away. I think it's a really interesting article. I'm obviously biased, but I talked to four really sharp, successful players, pick their brain about the Pick Five, and try to share their insights with you as readers. So I really encourage you, if you want to learn a little bit, maybe get better at betting the Pick Five. We don't talk about handicapping. We're really focused on structuring your bets. Then I really recommend that you give that a read. So go to inthemoneypodcast.com and click on blog.
And I am absolutely going to read that before I play the Pick Five tomorrow.
Let's hope you'll learn something, and the other readers will too, that'll help you maybe not necessarily hit it, but at least give yourself a better chance in terms of optimizing whatever your opinion is from a handicapping standpoint.
And we have a special guest. He's a horse racing analyst for NYRA and Fox Sports. He won the NHC Tour in 2015. He's the only handicapper ever able to get two entries to the final table in the same NHC. He's the people's champ, Jonathan Kitchen. Jonathan, welcome.
Man, thank you guys. I appreciate it. It's been a long time since we've all talked, so I'm looking forward to it. Just trying to enjoy Saratoga as much as possible with the small little changes, if you want to call them small.
Well, I hope you appreciated my homage to Pete, because calling you the people's champ, because we were highly influenced, of course, by the In the Money podcast. So we really appreciate you coming on.
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, you guys you know, I think we're all cut from similar cloth as being players first, and our love for the game and the gambling aspect of it has kind of led us down different paths. And it's always fun to get on and talk racing. I think that's one of the things that drew us all to the game was the puzzle and the discussion and the conversation and the camaraderie. So I appreciate you guys having me.
Fantastic. I do have one question before I send it over to Chris, and that is, on America's Day at the Races, you have to handicap a lot of races. And with all the things that you have going on in your life, I wonder, how do you have time to do it? And what is your process for doing it efficiently, all those races that you have to express an opinion about?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think that picking who you think is going to win is completely different than betting the race, right? I mean, I think that's one thing that I've gotten to a point where I can kind of separate it a little bit. For instance, today at Saratoga, like I'm only on for like the first five races. So I obviously have to pick all of them, and I have to kind of give a best bet that's like later in the card, but I usually try to do it when I'm on. And so, you know, it's kind of a tricky word. Like, what does best bet actually mean? But, I'm not as disciplined as Andy is. Andy like handicaps on the draw day. So if they draw on Wednesday for Saturday, when he goes to bed Wednesday night, he's like done looking at Saturday. I just can't do that. I can't work that far ahead. So it's usually, you know, get some basic stuff out of the way, you know, the night before, and then tighten up the day of. The trickiest part, I think, for me really is that, you know, the preparation for playing in the $10,000 Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge is easier than preparing for the show, because in the betting situation, if I don't like a horse, I don't have to explain that to anyone. I just toss the horse and do my thing. But when you're on and you have to talk about the horse, you can't just say, oh, I just don't like the horse. You have to kind of be ready to defend your side of it. So the preparation is a little bit different for the show.
All right. Well, we have limited time on the show today. So Chris, did you have any quick questions for Jonathan before we get started?
One quick question. I mean, you're one of the few people who get to be on track at Saratoga that isn't, you know, directly involved with the horses. So what has that been like with no crowds and, you know, just all the changes that have occurred?
You know, it's funny. I've watched two races live, but that's kind of what happens when I'm at Saratoga anyways. We're just hanging out in the secret spot. It's kind of hard to get over to the front side, and you know, it's all those areas are kind of reserved. And so it's tricky. In the first, I've gone long times at Saratoga with being there every day and not seeing a race live, but I've only seen two races live. One from the Winner's Circle. I got to the show early, so I went out there and I watched one live. And then the other one, I had a quick meeting in the 1863, I think. But I was, some of the executives had set up their offices in there to kind of spread out more, because the jockeys' quarters have taken over where their normal offices are. So the jockeys can be more spread out. And so I went to a meeting up there and I watched a race from up there. So it's weird. You know, when you're watching it on TV, it still feels like Saratoga. But when you're walking through there, it's empty. It just feels like it's in the morning, but it just happens to be in the afternoon. So it's kind of surreal. You know, there's starting to be more owners showing up and trainers. So you see those people walking around. It just, you know, it's different, but everything in the world is different right now. So I haven't really let it bother me too much. And we'll see. Like today I work early, and I thought about sticking around and watching the stake, but it just doesn't have the same feel. I'll probably just come home and watch it on TV like everybody else.
All right. Well, we'll get started with the late pick five from Saratoga on Saturday. And the first race is a long one. It's a maiden race. The eighth race, 1 3/8 on the inner turf, purse of 72,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Jonathan, what did you think here?
Well, I mean, obviously the conversations always start with trying to beat Chad in these turf races. And Amano looks like a live contender in here. Chad obviously hasn't been winning at the clip he normally does. And he's been on a kind of a skid. I would imagine that's not going to continue to happen for a long time. So, you know, Amano's the type of horse I'd use in the pick five and try to build around. I don't think this is one of the Chads I'm going to try to beat, but I thought Reigning Spirit was attractive as well. Joel Rosario is one of the only guys at Saratoga in the last year that has a positive ROI on the inner turf. And I think that says a lot about his ability to ride to ride that that course. Reigning Spirit obviously is going to need a break a little bit better and needs to probably try to get some tactical get a little tactical position. But I think most would consider a riding rider's upgrade to Joel Rosario. So I like the 8 Reigning Spirit. That's my top choice in the race, but I'm not going to try to beat a mono in here.
Well, it should be noted that Rosario gets off a mono to ride Reigning Spirit for Al Stahl. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I agree with what Jonathan said. This is an interesting race, though. Amano, this will be his third start. He still hasn't broke his maiden, and he'll be the favorite. And he actually lost to a horse in this race, the 3 Bailout, in his last race. And Bailout's a 5-year-old. He's a lot more mature than these horses. I think that makes a big difference at this longer distance. He also has run some really fast races in the past at the distance. If he runs back to those, he'll win this race. It's a big if, though, because he's changed barns and the current trainer's not exactly a win machine. The rider's a little bit of a question mark, particularly on the turf going this far. But, I mean, you have a horse that's the fastest horse in the race, proven at the distance, beat the favorite in the last start and goes third off a layoff for a not a great barn, but probably the kind of barn that needs to run him into shape. So to me, Bailout's a must use in here, and you'll probably get the 6-1, maybe higher, and Amano will probably be below that 2-1 morning line. So I see there's value there. So he interests me for sure. The other one I find really interesting in here is the 4 Caribbean Gold. And that horse is bred to run all day, and he started his career going 2 turns and didn't run too poorly. But then after that, they've ran him in 3 straight sprint races, and he's not run too poorly. In fact, the last one was a stakes race at Monmouth, and now they go from a 5.5 furlong stakes race at Monmouth. They ship him to Saratoga to go 11 furlongs in a maiden race. And this is a horse bred to go long, and he's almost certain to be, you know, clear early. I don't know how often horses can go from 5.5 furlongs to 11 furlongs and win, but this horse is really interesting as one of those kind of horses that can blow up the pick 5. And so to me, Caribbean Gold, that will be my pod pick. And that's the horse I think you want to throw in there if you want to take a shot at really juicing up the price in this pick 5. So I'm with the 4 Caribbean Gold and the 3 Bailout.
Yeah, I think every horse is a little suspect in here, and there isn't much speed, so who's going to get the lead? I think that Caribbean Gold could be the horse, but I'm going to get my crazy long shot of the day out of the way right now, and that is the 2 Vriodini. Horse shows a 48 flat gatework in May, and that indicates the horse has some speed and could try to wire the field. Now, the trainer's only win this year was with a horse stretching out to 1 1/8 on the turf. It ran on the lead with this jockey, Eric Cancel. The dam won at 1 1/8 on turf at Saratoga, and Bernardini's can run all day. Now, they aren't usually good on turf, but every once in a while they are. The trainer is 0-8 with first-time starters in the past 5 years, but I'm looking at her lifetime ROI with first-time starters, and it's like around $4. So somewhere in the past, she's hit with first-time starters. So I would absolutely – I'm going deep in this race. I'll use all your guys' horses. I'll also use Vriodini, Holy Emperor, Mystery Bank, and Montauk Summer.
Jonathan, you have anything else to add?
You know, I will say this about Amano, just for some little insider info. Louis Lazanero owns a restaurant up here in Saratoga called Nove, and it's a real popular restaurant. And he's also the owner of that freaky turf sprinter that Chad debuted or ran the other day, French Reef. I don't think Chad is going to send over a short horse during the Saratoga meet in Louis's backyard. So just keep an eye on that. Look, I my whole approach at Saratoga is either to zig or zag, to Chad or not to Chad. I just think this is a dangerous race to not Chad.
Yeah, and I would absolutely. I'm including the horse reluctantly. You know, it's one of those races where I have to go deep, and because I don't want the Chad to kill me, but I'm going skinny in a couple other races.
I'm always worried about Chad Brown. Just to me, his third try in a maiden race, I'm a lot less worried about it when they're getting their third chance. Because like you said, he typically sends them out ready even the first time, certainly the second time. So by the third time, you know, you probably know what you have. So I'm not quite as concerned. But yeah, you know, I think he'll run his race. I just don't know if he's a standout in here. The one other thing I just say on the first time starter for you, Scott, of course, the horse is going to be a giant price. So I don't want to knock a long shot, but I basically toss any Bernardini, on the turf. I mean, he's just a horrifically bad turf sire compared to the dirt. That's just the one thing I would add in there. But you'll get a giant price, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's 50-1 on the morning line. All right, because we have limited time, we'll scoot along to the ninth race, which is the Whitney, a grade one, mile and an eighth on dirt, purse of $750,000 for four-year-olds and up. Chris, where did you land here?
Well, I really like Improbable. I think he's probably the best horse in training. I think a lot of people are just stuck in the past with this horse because he was his own worst enemy last year. He had tremendous talent. I think he was the most talented in that generation, but he just constantly lost races because of his mental problems. But this year, I think he's a different horse. His last race, he was very professional. I mean, he reminded me of Gunrunner, the way he just sort of broke alertly, stalked the pace, easily grabbed the lead, and then just drew off. And, you know, if he's got his mind on straight, which it looks like he does, he's very talented. And in two races back, that race against Tom's Détente, where he lost to Tom's Détente, he ran the better race, I thought. He ran an awesome race. He was parked really wide from an outside post. He got the lead. He got a little bit tired, and that was just a prep. That was to set him up for his next race. And I think if you had switched trips, he would have won that race over Tom's Détente. So I think he can turn the tables on him here. I think he's more talented than horses like By My Standards and Code of Honor. And I just think he's the horse to beat. I don't think he'll get a great price. He's not a great price in the win pool, but in the pick ends, if you can beat Tom's Détente, I think you get a little value. So I'm all about Improbable in here, the number two horse.
All right. It should be noted that Improbable not only won that last race, but extended even further on the gallop out. Jonathan, where did you land here?
Yeah, I really like Improbable as well. I mean, I think Tom's Détente is a really cool horse and a great story to kind of be able to keep progressing as a seven-year-old. But it just feels like anytime Tom's Détente like really gets in one of those grade one, grade ones, he never can seem to kind of hold it up. You know, he won the Clark, obviously, in the fall, but I don't think that was the toughest race. And he won the Stephen Foster, but that wasn't necessarily the toughest race. Now he's facing real, like, grade one winners like Code of Honor and Improbable coming out for Bob Baffert. And the way the track's been playing with the inside being kind of where you want to be, it just feels like Improbable is going to work out a beautiful trip from the inside. I think most people thought Improbable had some distance questions. I've never been that big of a he's got distance questions, but you know, he's going to cut right back to that mile and eighth. He feels a lot like McKenzie, you know, one of those horses that was unbelievably talented and that mile and an eighth race is right up his wheelhouse. And, you know, when Baffert sends one over to Saratoga or to New York in general, they usually run. I think Improbable is going to be tough in here. I have no interest really in Tom's Détente. I just think he's going to be overbet. And I think he's going to have to work out a trip from the outside. And to me, in multi-race bets and things like that, I'm going to try to be probably single A to Improbable and single B to Code of Honor just in case they go too quick. I thought Code of Honor's last race in the Met Mile was pretty good when he was closing into that moderate pace and those good horses like Vekoma. So those are the only two that I need. Obviously, By My Standards is a horse I've always liked, but I just think he's probably a cut below.
All right. Well, we have a triple barreled pod pick because I also am on Improbable. And For the first time in a long time, you can actually get a sense of how they're going to bet this race. If you go to Sport of Kings, the new website, there is an odds page, and currently Improbable is 3-1, Code of Honor 8-5, Toms d'Etat 9-5, with 182 picks in so far. Now, I was all set to like single Toms d'Etat coming into this race because he's just been such a pro, right? But I watched that last race, and not only did he get a perfect trip with a super slow pace, but I noticed on the gallop out, he started shortening up stride, and he looked fine for like the first 50 yards, and then he just shortened up stride. And I think the race took more out of him than it looked, even though it was a hand ride. So now I'm very against Toms d'Etat, unfortunately, as much as I like him. And if I were in that Whitney Challenge, which is big money contest at Saratoga, I might consider a big try key with Improbable over Code of Honor and By My Standards, who I think, you know, he was up against it in the Toms d'Etat race, and he's going to have a better time of it in this race.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that By My Standards has always kind of hinted that he's a good horse, and like we said, the inside has not been a bad place to be at Saratoga, and he projects to work out a nice trip from down there. The only problem is he's got speed to his outside that could be a problem for him with Improbable.
Well, and Mr. Buff, he's probably going to be the pace setter in the race. So, just one other thing on Toms d'Etat, he is 7 years old. He does have a history of physical problems, and he's run several big races in a row. I mean, that's a lot of weight to carry into the race to expect him to keep reproducing those top efforts. And so, you know, I think he, like everyone said, I agree with pretty much everyone that said that he's a good horse. He's a cool horse, but I think he will get way overbid in this race, given his chances of winning.
All right, we'll move on to the 10th at Saratoga. It's the H. Allen Jerkin Stakes presented by Run Happy. A grade one, 7 furlongs on the dirt, purse of $300,000 for three-year-olds. Jonathan, what did you think here?
Yeah, I'm still working my way through the two Steve Asmussen runners. I mean, those are the ones that I definitely want in here. I feel like they're going to run. I feel like eight rings from the inside, winning a grade one on dirt. Do you see Bob Baffert rate a horse with speed? Feels like eight rings is going to run away from there. Obviously, Mischievous Alex has some speed, and he saw what happened last time. He let No Parole get loose. So I don't feel like they're going to take this approach that they're going to take back No Parole. Obviously, they're going to be aggressive with that one. And you think that maybe even Tap It to Win from the outside. I just feel like they're going to run in this race. And I want a horse coming from off of it going the 7 furlongs, which isn't something I typically do. I just think Echo Town ran well last time. I'm friendly with Ricardo Santana's agent. And right after the race, I remember Ruben called and said that Ricardo said Echo Town was hating the track at Belmont. Like that wasn't the intent to take him back. The horse took himself back. He wasn't happy on the racetrack. And then he came running kind of against it from a flow standpoint with the pace being so slow. So Echo Town has shown that he's a fighter. He's shown some of his impressive races when he got beat by Long Weekend at Oaklawn. I just think Echo Town makes sense in here, and I'm not ready to give up on Shoplifted as a horse who I think has been screaming for the cutback. He's going to get some pace to run into. I thought he ran fine in the Woody Stevens, considering the situation there. And this is the scene of two of his biggest wins. So I think Shoplifted, maybe he appreciates the red and white awnings as much as the rest of us do. And when he gets over to Saratoga, he runs well. So those are the two for me. And I have to build a lot based on their prices. But for the pod pick, I'll go with 7 Shoplifted.
Okay, and I agree with you on both those Steve Asmussen horses. You got to include them. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I think for the most part, I see the race a lot like Jonathan did. I do think Echo Town is a gutty horse. So if he gets in a battle, he really seems to like to win. Clearly, No Parole when he clears is really a beast. But you would have to think after what happened in that last race that some of these horses are going to go with him early. If they don't, he'll win. So I do think it kind of sets up for a closer, and I love playing the closers at 7 furlongs. Unlike Jonathan, I love it, especially if I think there'll be a pace. The thing is, I landed on a different closer. he mentioned Shoplifted, who I think is somewhat of a threat, but there's a horse in this race who ran against Shoplifted earlier this year, and they basically were side by side the entire race, and then he just completely put Shoplifted away in the stretch, and that's the 8-horse Three Technique, who also trounced No Parole when they ran in the same race. So here's a horse who's really been highly regarded since his debut. He's always bet. He always runs well. He's won at Saratoga. He's the best closer in the race. He's cutting back in distance, comes in fresh for a good layoff barn, draws a nice outside post, gets Jose Ortiz. His only race off the board was really a good effort against Nadal. It was that weird race where Nadal kind of just ran everybody off their feet and like an 80-1 shot clunked up for second. But Three Technique and Basin were the only two that kind of ran it all at the end behind Nadal, and they battled to the wire, and Three Technique got nosed out for third in that race. Now that was, you know, probably farther than he wants to go. I think 7 furlongs will be perfect for this horse. I'm hoping that he'll get overlooked a little bit because he isn't coming out of that Woody Stevens race. And if so, you know, I think the 8-horse Three Technique could offer some value, and certainly he's the horse I would center all my bets, either horizontal or vertical, around in here.
Yeah, you have to say about Three Technique, not only his last two races, not only were they two turns, but they were both on the slop, and he hasn't done anything on the slop. So I actually, so I'm using all three of the horses that you guys just mentioned. I did land, like Jonathan, well, no, you landed on Shoplifted as your pod pick. I made my pod pick Echo Town. And one key about that race, I'm surprised the agent didn't say anything about Echo Town getting bumped, because he was bumped pretty significantly by Mischievous Alex at the start. And then he had to, you know, he went into Shoplifted. So it was a little bit of a pinball action. And I thought that really took him off his game. And he was pretty gallant to finish second. And in fact, I'm less impressed by the other two, except that Shoplifted, I think, is still a use, because I feel like Shoplifted was prepping, like just sort of warming up in that race. So those are the two that I have. But I would also say that 8 Rings, it's a bit of an enigma, but if that horse is 8-1, which it probably won't be, but even at 6-1 or 5-1, that horse is working its brains out. I mean, it's running these 58 and change bullet workouts, which are the fastest, you know, they're not only bullets, but the fastest that he's ever run. And Baffert in a Grade 1 at Saratoga, I mean, it's hard to leave him off. I don't know if he'll try to wire or not. One big negative on No Parole is that not only does he come off the biggest race of his life and there's other speed, but he carries 124. So he's carrying 6 pounds more than most of these horses. So you kind of have to go against him at 9-5.
No, I mean, that makes complete sense, you know, and he got his run last time. You know, I think Tom Amos does a phenomenal job, but, you know, this horse is going to have some pressure. He's not going to have the same scenario he had last time. I think the racetrack was kind to his style. So I think No Parole is going to be, you know, he's going to be one that's going to be hard for me to lean on. I'm going to be looking for somebody to come from out of it.
Yeah, I would agree. Totally agree with that. I think we're all on the same page. 8 Rings, you know, you have to respect Baffert too. We all know what he can do in New York. The post maybe isn't the best with all the speed, but it seems like the inside hasn't been a bad place to be at Saratoga. What do you think, Jonathan? You've watched all the races. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, you know, yesterday being Thursday, Orlando Noda in that stake had T Loves a Fight, who I didn't really like. It was 25-1, spent almost the entire time down on the rail and ended up running second into that race, closing into that slow pace. So I feel like the rail probably helped quite a bit. So it seems like, you know, at least like in the, you know, last year, it was a problem to be down on the inside. I think it's clear that it's not a problem. I think it varies on how good it is, but I think that it's, you don't have to be fearful of a horse getting stuck down there.
All right, let's move to the 11th at Saratoga, since we only have 10 more minutes. the Bowling Green, a grade 2, 1.375 on the inner turf, purse of $250,000 for 4-year-olds and up. Chris, where did you land?
Well, I think the favorites are legit in here, the 5 and 6, Channel Maker and Saddler's Joy. But I really like the 7-horse Pillar Mountain in here. I think the other horses are pretty much proven to be grade 3 type horses. But Pillar Mountain, I think, is the one with upside. He's really bred to be a late developer that really relishes these longer distances. As a 4-year-old last year, he wasn't quite good enough to compete with this company, but he's a year older. I'm guessing he's developed some physically, and he had a nice prep. That last race was definitely just a prep. It was too short for him. He needed it off the layoff, but it was also a really salty race. I mean, Digital came out of that and won Next Out, Breaking the Rules, just won, I think, yesterday, Next Out. Monarch's Glen ran a big second. I mean, that was a salty race, and he ran pretty well in there. And given the distance, I thought, now he stretches out to the distance he wants. And I think he's the one horse that could upset things. And he's one of the longer prices on the board. And to me, he's definitely the value play in here. My only concern is, and he is getting in light at 118 pounds. He picks up Johnny Velasquez, who's a good rider, but he has a habit sometimes of parking horses 3 wide, and you don't want to be 3 wide around 3 turns. So I'm hoping he doesn't do that, and he at least gets over into the 2 path before the first turn. That's my big concern, because he did draw outside, but there's only 7 horses in the race, so I'm hoping that, you know, he doesn't end up 3 wide. That's the one thing that could kill him. If he doesn't go too wide, I really expect Pillar Mountain to be really flying late, and he could pull the upset.
A bold pick by Chris on Pillar Mountain. Jonathan, what did you think?
Man, I love Saddler's Joy in this spot. I think that he there's a chance. This might be my best bet that I do on Fox tomorrow. I think Saddler's Joy is the type of horse. The last two races, I've tossed him in the last two races because I've developed this opinion. I think maybe Matt Bernier might have been one of the people that pointed it out first, that he just needs 3 turns. And Belmont's configuration just doesn't really fit his style. He's back at Saratoga where he's going to get those 3 turns. The two races that I tossed him, he ran winning races and ran well. I just think he's going to run big tomorrow. I've never been a huge fan of Saddler's Joy elsewhere, but when he's back here, I think he's sitting on a big race. Channel Maker ran well last time. I just feel like he's kind of going the wrong direction. Dot Matrix, obviously a huge fan of that horse, but I think maybe these waters are getting deeper than Dot Matrix might want to have to deal with. Cross Border comes back quickly off of that race in the Lubash. He'll pressure it to Mike Maker going long on the turf, but I just feel like Saddler's Joy is he's the one that I want in this race.
All right, the only thing to note about Saddler's Joy, he is 0-for-3 in this race. He loves the Sword Dancer, which comes next. I'm sort of on the fence with Saddler's Joy, but he's going to get bet. So I'm going to go with the only speed in this race, which is Channel Maker. He ran really well on February 29th in the Mac Dermita. It was a 1.375 race like this. There was like a rabbit, and he ended up being 4th on the inside. And right when he was ready to go, he hit a wall of horses, and Zulu Alpha and Admission Office just went right on by the outside and got perfect trips. So he didn't have a chance to run that day. He got his best figure in a while, and he's been circling back to that. So I think Channel Maker's, he's really dangerous, and I will single him in this race because I think he's going to have the lead. And if for some reason somebody decides to go with him, he can raid. He doesn't have to have the lead, but he can also do it on the lead. And I think that's the tactic they will take.
Yeah, you know, Maker usually is pretty aggressive in these turf races with his runners. And I think just bringing Cross Border back so quickly, that whole thing suggests aggression. He's drawn to the inside. Maker had Jose send a horse. I felt like maybe it was yesterday. It runs together. That's one thing that happens for sure. So he sent the horse to the front. So I would think Cross Border will pressure Channel Maker. And I just worry Channel Maker is just not the same horse he used to be. I mean, you mentioned that McDermott. I just feel like he continues to kind of just trend in a direction that doesn't reflect the real Channel Maker. But we'll see what happens with him.
I kind of agree with both of you in that Saddler's Joy is good. And his last race was a lot better than it looked because he was really wide in that race. I think maybe that's what Jonathan meant when he said he ran a winning race. And I think Channel Maker's sitting on a good race. He liked Saratoga. I think his last race was better than it looked. So I don't know if he's lost a step, but I do agree with Jonathan that I think Cross Border is not going to let him get an easy lead for sure. I would expect Cross Border to be on the lead, given that Maker has a couple horses in this race and he's stretching out in distance and he's always on the lead. I actually liked him two races back because I thought he might wire the field, and he kind of got the trip I was hoping for, but he just couldn't hold on late. So I agree with you two that those are the horses to beat, Channel Maker and Saddler's Joy. I just think Pillar Mountain is the one with upside, and he's got this classic extreme distance pedigree where they develop late. They're not, he could even get better as a six-year-old. He's the kind that is going to keep getting better. And I think this is the chance we can see if he's ready to step up into this kind of company.
All right. The 12th race at Saratoga is the Caress Stakes, 5.5 furlongs on turf, purse of 200,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Jonathan, what did you think? And let's, we're tight for time. So, one horse.
Yeah, I'm giving you two quick. I like Delica. I thought that trip last time was tough, man. It started raining right before the race. Horse has a nice turn of foot. And then Jakarta, the Mike Maker horse, showed a lot of speed, was the one that was dueling with Newspaper of Record, or at least was up there and pressured Newspaper of Record a couple races back. I just think the Mike Maker and Luis Saez combination there could be dangerous. Mother's going to take money, and I don't need her at all. So Delica will be my top choice.
Chris, where did you land?
Well, I like Jakarta as well because I always like speed in these turf sprints at 5 or 5.5. And it seems like Jakarta is the speed. She clears. She'll be tough. So definitely I like her. I, unlike Jonathan, who's usually a Baffert fan, I like Mother a lot in here. I think she's got some turf breeding. I think she has excuses for her last few races, including, the fact she's probably better sprinting than going long against Monomoy Girl in her last. Can you hear me?
Do we get? You dropped out for a minute there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had an incoming call. I'm sorry. I'm not sure when I got cut off. I like Mother. I think she has excuses for her last few. I think she's bred for the turf. I think she'll get a nice stocking trip. I know Baffert's not known for turf horses, but he's actually started two horses in turf sprints at in New York. And he hasn't won, but one was second by a neck and the other was third by 3/4 of a length. So his horses have run on the turf when he puts them here. And I think Mother could run a race here, and I think she might get overlooked a bit. So I like 5 Jakarta and 6 Mother.
All right. I think this is a wide open race, and I'm going to include a lot of them. I'm not going to include Mother, which I may be jinxing myself right there, but I will include Jonathan's horses and Jakarta for Chris. The horse I landed on is Introduced was second in her Saratoga debut to Concrete Rose, who was a fantastic horse. And she's 2 for 2 this year. She just looks like she's plumb ready to pop. Her trainer is super hot. He won with an 18-1 on turf with Manny at Belmont. And 10-1 would be sweet on this horse. It's a horse that I would even consider on the win end if it's higher than 10-1. And I guess I've kind of stifled commentary by putting a limit on our race here. But I think you do have to go, right, Jonathan? Or
yeah, I mean, I got like a minute or two left. If we could, you could wrap it up however you want.
Okay, so any other horse that you like in this race?
I'm kind of against the mother thing. I feel like I had a conversation with Bob at one point that he felt like she needed that the 6 might be too short for her. And that's why they tried to stretch her out last time. Now they're going to run her 5.5. I mean, you know, she might like the grass, but is the distance going to be too sharp for her? So I think anytime you can beat Baffert, no matter where it is, you're going to have an opportunity to make some money. The other horse I thought was maybe a little interesting was Kariba for Clement. Obviously, they're riding lights out. And I think that would be one you wanted to consider. But the fact that Joel got off of that horse to ride Delica, I think, is another kind of push in Delica's corner.
Chris, any other horse there?
No, I think it is kind of a wide open race. And obviously, I have a little bit different opinion of Mother Mother. I don't think the 6 furlongs is going to hurt her at all. I don't think a turf will hurt her at all, but we'll see. And it's hard how they're going to bet. What are the public handicap odds on her? Let's see. 6-1 public handicap odds right now on her. And Delica is 4-1. And your horse, Scott, is 41-1 introduced. So that looks like the contest play, the 4 horse.
Hello, introduced. All right. Well, I really want to thank Jonathan for spending the time with us. Jonathan, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. It was great. And I hope you do well.
Oh, thanks, man. It's always good to catch up with you guys. I wish you guys the best of luck and all your listeners as well.
Awesome. That will conclude show number 75 of the Sport of Kings pod. Have a great Whitney day and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.